I mean, at the time of the Lord Buddha, to get cloth, you know, to make a rope was extremely difficult. Don't think just because everybody brings cloth here, we shouldn't take care of the things. I mean, we have so many boats or so many cloth, you know. Ah, when it's gone, you know, we just make a new one. That's not the attitude of a Kamatana monk. I mean, keep your things well in order, and you especially, you know, here in the rainy season, I mean, you're quite lucky that you're not in Bantat. It will be even worse in Bantat. The humidity, I mean, in Bantat, you know, you leave your ropes out, you know, just for 1 hour, and it's completely wet. No, not wet, but completely damp. So, you know, you make them dry and then instantly pack them away. And I mean, in the bowl area, there's not so much air in the bowl area that gets them damp. But, you know, when you compare that air that is in the bowl, you know, when you close the lid properly, I mean, to the air that is in the kuti with your open windows, I mean, do think. The duties of the monk is just as important as the practice. Making it properly, everything properly, just like we do our practice properly. And doing the practice properly, I mean, we have to have sati, we have to have this awareness. Without awareness, we don't get anywhere, we don't see. We are just in the blind, you know. It's just like, you know, you have your dark glasses on and want to see, you know, you want to differentiate between the different shades of green or grey or something like that. You can't see the difference. Once you take off the dark glasses, I mean, you see the difference. You say, oh wow, what kind of world is that? Never seen it like that. That is people having sati. And if you remember what the Lord Buddha said, the only shortcut, you know, to enlightenment is having sati all the time, knowing what we are doing. I mean, if your sati is not that great, I mean, it's completely lacking behind. Maybe in your practice, I mean, you have some sati, yeah. But I mean, the mind is fast. It is extremely fast. While you're being on Buddha, 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 you know, the mind still does 10,000 things. So, I mean, that is not sati. That's not awareness. Awareness is aware of everything that comes into the mind. Knowing that I want to drink something, you know, and then see all this action that comes just from this thought, I want to drink something, or I want to eat something, all this action. We don't see it because we are so used to it. I mean, the practice is rolling up, you know, and questioning everything, every thought that we have, every movement that we do. Question it, you know, what is the purpose of it, you know, what effect does it have? That is developing sati. That's why I told you yesterday, I mean, if you don't have enough sati, I mean, then just note what you're doing. Now I'm doing my Buddha. Now I'm doing, you know, now I want something to drink. Now I stretch out my arm, you know, to see it slowly evolving. You know. Without that, yes, I'm aware, you know, I want something to drink, you know, and then you look one way, you know, and then you drink the other way. That is not a person who has sati. So note it, Okay, I want to drink something. Then see how you look around, where is something, where is the water, or where is my glass, or where is this. See it, you know. Now I'm looking around. Once you found it, you know, then you start moving towards it. Be it the arm or be it the whole body. Then note, you know, I'm moving towards it. You know, note I'm picking it up, or I'm stretching out my arm. Now I bent my arm, and now I feel something in, you know. Now I Now I put it to my lips, now I drink it, you know, and then have sati, you know, when you drink it, when the water reaches the tongue, what is the taste of it, you know, what is the feeling of it? And then when the water goes down, you know, the throat, what is the feeling of it, what's the taste of it, you know, when it stays in the stomach, what is the feeling of it? That's how you should do it, that's how you should train sati. The same with eating. Just don't gulp it all in. And just shovel it all in, yeah? I mean, because it really doesn't matter. I mean, that's where the kilesas are hiding in the dark, in the moments where we don't have sati, you know? When we eat something and already want the next bite of it. That's where, you know, that's when the kilesas have already done their work, you know? I mean, it's difficult then to stop them. But to see them when we have sati, you know, when we chew, with sati, when we swallow with sati, when we are constantly with what we are doing, then we also see the creeping in of the kilesas. And then we instantly can counteract them. And I know it's so difficult to train. I mean, because the kilesas don't want to make themselves open, or open up, you know, make them to see them. So if you note that, you know, you will see it's so difficult. I have awareness, you know, I'm just going on this and this, you know. That's the way of the kilesa. If your awareness is not that great, I mean, try it out. I mean, all these things are a suggestion, you know, to train your sati. Because I have the feeling your sati is not really up to the task, you know, of doing really, going really deep into meditation. If you have the sati, you know that you can go really deep into meditation. But if you don't have the sati, you know, doing all the outside works, I mean, then you have to train it as well. Just note it. I'm picking up the broom. I'm sweeping left. I'm sweeping right. You know, I'm sweeping these leaves. Now I put my foot to the next step. You know? Just like this, you know. Just noting, just making yourself aware of what you're doing, why you're doing it, and what kind of results does it have? As I said, you know, we have to roll up our whole life, you know, and start afresh. Not just coming back, you know, from the worldly life, putting on some robes, you know, and thinking, you know, practice is everything. If you don't know how to practice correctly, we will do that for the rest of our life and nothing will change. We might become a little bit more aware, you know, of our surrounding, of the sounds, of the feeling, but nothing will change. We will not get down to the root, you know, where these feelings are coming from, where these thoughts are coming from, where all these things are evolving. If you can't get to the root of that all, I mean, how can we uproot it? How can we uproot the evil if you don't see the root of evil in our heart? And we can only see it because satis are our inner eyes. That's where we can see it. That's where the kilesas don't have any power. That's why Lungta Mahapua said, if you have sati, you have no kilesas that moment. So, I mean, how can you say, you know, I mean, while you're drinking a glass that you have sati? I mean, the kilesas are all over you. They tremble all over you. Because you think about this, think about that, while you're drinking, you're mixing one thing, you drink one thing, and in thoughts you are ready for the next drink. How can you say you have sati? Sati is being aware, you know, and being so aware that the kilesas don't have any space to intrude. And then you just see, you know, you see the result of this drink and then you feel after it, you know, is it enough? And then you get up, you know, and then go back to your kuti. Talking a lot doesn't help, you know, it's all distraction. Train sati, you know, and if you have to note it, you know, I mean, and fight the kilesa. It's just like, you know, you train Buddha all day long. I mean, if you really replace each kilesa, each thought with Buddha, I mean, there's no tougher work than this. I mean, you can do either this or, but you have to replace each intention, and in the end, you know, you just do Buddha. Oh, you have to note. Especially if you see that your sati is in daily actions, is not up to the speed. You really don't know what you're doing. You're it's just all muddy. You have the feeling that you know what you're doing, but actually you don't know. Remember, developing sati, how difficult it might be in the beginning. It would be really helpful. If you just do this noting example, for 2 or 3 weeks, you will see a complete different view. You will get to know what you're doing and what kind of effect. And if you don't know what you're doing and what kind of effect it has, how can you change? It's the same thing, why I suggested to you, to do the daily reflection. How difficult it is to do that. Because the kilesas just don't want to do it. Because they want to work out, they want to play around in the background. It's just like when we do our Buddha, 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 and we think we are with the Buddha. The kilesas are playing in the background, and suddenly, this is sound, where is that coming from? The kilesas bring it to our attention that there is a sound. The kilesas bring it to our attention that there is a feeling, and so on and so on. And then they want us to do something. And then they say, it's enormously loud, why is it so loud, And then they've got us. They've eaten us up. There's not much more left to our bhikkhu, being a bhikkhu, because they eat us up. And they still play around the same way as they used to play around, before. If you want to get a handle on it, train your sati. It's of utmost importance. Train it the way whatever you want to do. Train it by noting, and even if it's so difficult. And all the questions of comfort. That's too difficult. It's easier just to stay with my feeling. Who tells you this? Get smart, understand the kilesas, they are out for comfort. They don't want to do difficult things. They just want to make it everything easy, and everything, muddy. They don't want any clear view. They want all these feelings, that they promise you. If you do this, I will get happy. If I do this kind of meditation, I get calm very easily. If I do that kind of meditation, I will get insight, and so on. Even the Dhamma, they completely turn around, upside down. And in the end, it's still the same old story. The kilesas rule you. And you have no way to counteract them. Only if you open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see, what they're doing. What is going on? There's a thought. There's a thought. There's a feeling. There's a feeling. And then there's a feeling. And then comes, there's thirst. That's the next thing. And it specifies even more, it specifies itself. What is it? Now I want to drink something. The first thought is not I want to drink something. The first thought is, either I have dukkha, or, I just I'm really thirsty. I have an unpleasant feeling in the stomach area. That's why I eat something, or that's why I drink something. But we are not really aware of what is going on. We're not aware. We don't have that kind of awareness to know what we are doing and why we are doing and what kind of results it has. So if you drink something, and you think you are thirsty, that might not be the reason, or in most cases it is really not the reason. It's the kilesas who want a distraction. The same thing with I want to pee, it's a distraction. The kilesas just don't want to do the work, any kind of monotonous work is the hell for kilesas. If you give in, you feel more comfortable. Get to know this. Get to experience this. So you have to do it. You have to do it. You have to try it out. It's the same thing, with eating. I mean, just like I said yesterday, I mean, sometimes eating full, yeah. And then see the results of eating, you know, eating your full share, yeah. And the results of practice, you know. How is the practice going? When I eat half, how is the practice going? When I eat, you know, hardly anything, how is the practice going? So interchange between these things. But you cannot eat half, you know, if you don't have enough sati. You cannot eat only a little if you don't have enough sati. Because the kilesas always want more. Oh no, I'm still hungry, I'm still hungry, and what is going to happen in the evening, huh? When I don't eat my full share. I mean, this is investigation of food. Also investigate this kind of food. You know, what kind of effect has this kind of food on me? Huh? What kind of effect has it in terms of practice on me? Is that good for my practice? Is it helpful for my practice? Is it not helpful to my practice? Huh? Investigate these things. But of course, you know, with closed eyes, you know, go through the world. Because that seems to be easy. Just don't know. I mean, that is the power of avijja, no? Not knowing, wanting to know. Not making it clear to us what is happening. Always keeping us in the dark. So do you really think, ask yourself, you know, if you get any way, you know, if you don't open your eyes, if you don't make things clear that are mati at the moment, and everything of all our action, you know, be going to the restroom or going to the toilet, you know, is mati. Washing ourselves is mati. Everything is mati because we still do it the way that we used to do it at home. Just with different utensils. Just wash, and then put the soap on, you know, and then this one, and then dry our body without any kind of awareness at all. We still do it the same way, just using different utensils. I mean, how can you get wise, you know, if you don't look? I mean, it displays if a person has sati or not. Huh? You really can see it. Huh? I mean, he's aware, you know, what he's doing right now. That's a person who has sati. But, you know, people doing it, you know, in English you can call it, you know, maybe he's mindful, you know, he's mindful, he's sweeping, yeah, that's fine. But he still doesn't have sati. He's mindfully drinking, you know, but he still doesn't say that he is sati. Now I'm only up, you know, even if our mind is only on drinking, you know, I mean, that doesn't mean that we have sati. I mean, sati is that thing that knows everything. Sati is the eyes that observe ourselves doing something and seeing the results of each action, seeing the results of each thought coming. That is perfect sati. And with this kind of perfect sati, I mean you can run up to enlightenment. Any kind else, I mean you will always stumble over the same blocks. See there, why do I constantly hit myself? You ask yourself, but you don't look what you stumbled upon. You just complain. Why do I hit myself? Why does this happen to me? Why is that happen to me? No? I mean, unhappiness and happiness arises, you know, in our heart. Greed and anger arises in our heart. If you look in our heart, I mean, we find everything. We find it, you know, we find the source, you know, for our hate. We find the source for our greed. We find the source for our delusion, not wanting to know. We find everything in our heart. But, you know, we use our outer eyes, you know, to look outside in the world. Oh, that's nice, oh, that's comfortable, that feels nice. Huh? I mean, everything that goes in our body turns out to be shit and piss. Huh? Why so? Do we understand that truth? Have you gone into that? Body investigation is the main topic for us as monks, you know, or for anybody who wants to overcome greed and hate. I mean, to understand the nature, first of all, you know, to understand the nature of the body. That each part of the body is just made out of four elements, you know, just in a different combination. That is one thing. And the attachment to this form. What results in greed and hate. So we have to, you know, we have to use the body investigation to bring up this greed and hate. To find the source of it, you know, find where is it located in this body. Because it's all form. Greed and hate is only own form. This form I like, that form I don't like. This is good, this is bad. You know, it's all attached to the form of the body. Because once the investigation of the body is finished, I mean, there's no more attachment to material forms. This form we like, that form we don't like. This food we like, that form, that food we don't like. This drink I like, you know, that drink I don't like. That's forms of greed and hate. And they are all concerned. They are all in combination with the body. With drinking, with eating, with sleeping, you know. Oh, if I do this, you know, I get sick. If I do that, you know, I mean, I might stay healthy. Where is that coming? Where is that wisdom coming from? Not from us, from our learning. From the Western medicine. I mean, if you've been long enough in Asia, I mean, you know, I mean, that the Western medicine has hardly understood a thing. I mean, find out the reasons. Yeah? I mean, you get sick. Yeah, find out the reason. What is the sickness? Is it karma or is it just, you know, just a common cold that happens to everybody? How do you react to sickness? Yeah, how do you react to old age? Yeah? You like it? You don't like it? You know, if you don't like it, why don't you like it? Yeah? I mean, what do you have to do with this body? What's the common string, you know, of this body and the citta? When you die, you know, you just hop into the next body if you have the enough virtue. Why do you hop in the next body? Because you love it. You know, you're still attachment. Your attachment is not uprooted. That's why you hop in the next body. Be it a fine material body or be it, you know, the coarse material body of a human being. I mean, all these things. All these things we cannot uproot because we don't see them. We don't see cause and effect working. So that's why we have to unravel it, you know. And if it means that you have to train yourself by noting everything that you're doing, I mean, that is one step to unravel what you're doing. Oh, I didn't even know that, you know, just drinking something, you know, takes so many actions. So many movements, you know, and then you see, you know, instantly when you watch this movement, you know, of just stretching your arm, you feel, you know. I mean, where's their comfort? Huh? Moving this body around, I mean, where is their comfort? Look at it, you know, feel it, you know, experience it. Huh? I mean, our work is the work of experience. The more we experience, the wiser we get. It's not the work of knowing. It's not the work of learning something. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I just look it up on the internet. I Google it, you know, and then I know what it is. I mean, that is just a common explanation that holds true for 50% of the population. That's all. It might not hold true for you. It might hold true for you. But that is not the source of the problem. The source of the problem lies in our thinking, lies in our attachment to the various things, lies in our views and opinions, especially views and opinions. Huh? This is nice and that is not nice. And it, of course, it lies in our, because all of this lies in our karma. Things that we have liked in the past, we tend to like in this life. You know, things that we didn't dislike in the past, you know, we tend to dislike in this life. I mean, you have to all uproot it. You have to see it, you know, what you like, your likes and dislikes. How can you uproot something that you don't even know that exists? Huh? Ask yourself. We can only uproot things that we see clearly, where we see, you know, there's the root, you know, pull it out, and then it never grows again. All what we do is cut it down, cut it down, cut it down, yeah. I mean, we have so many techniques, especially also in the West, to control ourselves. So that in the end, you know, we become control freaks. We control our mind not to think that. And does that help? Ask yourself. If we understand what makes us think in this way, I mean, we don't have to control anything. We just uproot it. Said, no, that's not a good idea. Or that's not a good thought. Or this thought leads to evil. Or this thought leads to unhappiness. Why should I carry it around with me? The moment you see the dukkha of something, of your action, of your intention, of your thoughts, I mean, then you really see the dukkha of it, you really see the discomfort with it, or the restlessness that it brings, you know, I mean, then you're ready to let go. You cannot let go. I mean, that's an idea. That's an idea of our controlling mind. We can let go of anything. The only place where it can be let go of is the heart. The moment the heart sees the fault, it will never do it again. Just like I sometimes, you know, bring up the example, you know. I mean, if a child, you know, puts the hand in the fire, it only does it once. It never does it again. So why do we put always our hand in the fire? Because we don't look. We just look the opposite way. Instead, you know, I mean, we hold our hand on fire and we look outside in the opposite way. And then we see a person passing by and then said, this is the cause of our dukkha. Instead of looking in the right direction, you know, that we are the ones who put our hand in the fire. Or we put our heart on fire. Because of this thought, because of this idea and that idea, because of this opinion or that opinion. Because we think this is healthy or this is unhealthy or this is like this or this is like that. That's why our heart is constantly in trouble. But we don't see it, you know, because we look the opposite way. So how can we ever see it if we don't start, you know, to looking in the right direction? And the right direction is, for instance, you know, just noting. You know, if you can't be aware of the things properly, just note it. Now I'm stretching out my arm. Now I'm stretching out my finger. Now I put my fingers in my nose. Why? Now I scratch. Why? Then we can ask, the moment we note, I mean, we are half of control of what is going on. Then we can say, why? And then in most of the cases, you can instantly let go. Because you know you're not thirsty. Or you know that you don't have to piss or you don't have to shit. Or this or that. But if because you don't know, you think you're thirsty and that's why you drink. Because you really haven't come down to the source of it. Once you see the root of it, you know, what happened before? I was dissatisfied. And that's why I want to drink. It's not because I'm thirsty. It's because I'm dissatisfied. Dissatisfied, you know, either with my practice or, you know, I'm bored, you know. It's also dukkha. Being bored, you know, is a dukkha. Being dissatisfied is dukkha. Being restless is dukkha. I mean, feel it, really experience it, you know. I mean, that is the best teacher you can have. Dukkha. See the dukkha, you know, that leads to these actions. But if without, you know, without being aware of, you know, your actions, I mean, how can you see the cause of it? Ask yourself. I mean, the more detailed you are, I mean, the better it is. And if somebody, if your kilesas tell you, that's I don't need that, I mean, I have enough awareness, I mean, that's where you go wrong. I don't see that you have enough awareness. I don't see that you have enough sati. Sati is not yet developed right. So I mean, take it on, you know. It's a suggestion for you, you know, how you can foster your awareness, how you can really foster it. And the more difficult it is, the more it shows you how you need it. Because actually, you know, if you have enough sati, I mean, it's such an easy job to do. Boop, boop, boop. Extremely easy. I mean, there's no hindrance to doing that. Just because the kilesas want to play in the background, you know, and instigate the next phase or the next game, you know. That's why they don't want us, you know, to be, you know, having sati on this and that. Huh? I mean, I know how to drink, I know how to eat, you know. I mean, the doctors tell me this is healthy, you know, I should eat this or I should eat that, you know, this is not healthy, I should not eat this. Yeah. So we rely on this, you know, and being extremely lazy, not really getting down to what is healthy for us, for our body. What is healthy, you know, not only for the, not for the body, but, you know, for our development of the mind, of the citta. That's what we have to get down to. I mean, we really have to evaluate everything that we do. When I take a step, yeah, feel it, and you know, just be with the step. And just know I'm doing a step. And then when you put your foot down, you know that you put the foot down. And if you do it, you will see, you will foster your sati, and I mean, you will think, I mean, I've never been more aware. Because everything starts to become clearer and clearer. Just like you wipe dirty windows. I mean, yeah, I see enough, you know. You cannot even distinguish between this kind of bird or that bird. You know, you just see something flying and assume, oh, that must be a bird, you know. If it's flying, you know, it's large, you know, you assume this is this kind of bird. If it's, But in the moment, you know, you wipe your window glasses, I mean, you start to see, wow. I mean, color, the different colors, you know. Oh, that's like this, that's like this. Oh, I didn't never notice that before. That's the power of sati. Develop it. And if it is tough, you know, then be tough. If it's easy, then it's fine. I mean, actually, you know, as I said, you know, if you have enough sati, I mean, this noting, you know, is really easy. Don't fool yourself, you know, I mean, I have enough sati, I just stay with what is easy. I mean, that's the same thing, and that's why our practice is not really developing, our samadhi is not really developing. We don't get into a stage where it's completely calm. Because our sati is not up to the speed of the kilesas. That's why still your feelings coming in and bothering us, and, you know, thoughts are coming in and bothering us, this is coming in, the sounds are coming in and bothering us. You know? This and this and this is still bothering us because the kilesas are still in the background and playing, instigating the play, the show. I mean, they're still in charge of the show, and that's why you don't get into samadhi. I mean, if you don't start to see clearer, if you don't start, you know, to develop your sati, I mean, you will stuck at that. Of course, you know, for you say, oh, it's nice and comfortable. Yeah. I mean, who tells you this? Have you ever questioned the one who tells you how it is? Who he is? Who are you to tell me that? Really contact them, you know, because there are really two forces within our citta. There's the force of Dhamma and there's the force of Kilesa. I mean, if the Dhamma doesn't contact the Kilesas, I mean, they will always rule. They will always sit on the throne and always tell us what to do. Tell us what we experience. Tell us how it is, you know. Ah, it's nice. Ah, no, a cool breeze, yeah. Who's telling us this? Can't you feel that cool breeze? So why do you need somebody to tell you this is this? Oh, my samadhi is going good. You know, who tells you this? Certainly not the Dhamma. Dhamma is just interesting in doing, in doing, in doing, you know. Just wants to go without a stop. Just concentrating in that, just investigating this, or doing this, or doing that, you know. Making this more clear, making that more clear. That's the Dhamma. Dhamma doesn't comfort us and say, ah, yes, you've done enough, you know, you're good, you know, you're great. Huh? That's certainly not Dhamma. That's the kilesas who want to distract us, you know, and get us off the hook. So that they have us in full control. So, I offer this for your reflection. You understand it? You have questions? Is it clear what I was talking about? It's of utmost importance.